you're cute and somehow fit his personality.
You do too, Tessa,
he says, and I cringe. I know I look like hell, but he's too unfalteringly kind to tell me so. Unlike Harden, who would tell me in a heartbeat. Ugh, Harden. Desperately wanting to get my mind off Mr. Rude, I pull Noah into me by the neck of his cardigan. When I go to kiss him, he smiles but pulls away.
What are you doing, Tessa? Everyone's staring at us.
He gestures toward a group of adults trying on sunglasses at a kiosk. I shrug playfully. No, they aren't. And so what? I really don't care. Usually I would, but I need him to kiss me. Just kiss me, please, I practically beg. He must see the desperation in my eyes because he tilts my chin up and kisses me. It's gentle and slow, no urgency behind it. His tongue barely touches mine, but it's nice, familiar and warm. I wait for a fire to ignite within me, but it doesn't. I can't compare Noah to Harden. Noah is my boyfriend, whom I love, and Harden is a jerk who has a roster of girls he hooks up with.
What's gotten into you?
Noah teases as I try to pull his body against mine. I flush and shake my head. Nothing. I just missed you, that's all, I tell him. Oh, and I cheated on you last night, my subconscious adds. Ignoring that, I say, but Noah, could you please stop telling my mother when I do things? It makes me really uncomfortable. I love that you are close to her, but I feel like a child when you basically tell on me. It feels good to get that off my chest.
Tessa, I am so sorry. I was just worried about you. I promise I won't do it again. Honestly.
He wraps his arm around my shoulder and kisses my forehead, and I believe him. The rest of the day is better than the morning, mostly because my mother takes me to a salon and I get my hair trimmed and some layers added into it. It still hangs down my back, but with my new cut, it has more volume and looks much better. Noah showers me with compliments the entire drive back to my dorm, and everything just feels right. I say goodbye to them at the front door, once again promising to stay away from anyone with a tattoo and within a 100-mile radius. When I walk into my dorm room, I feel a tinge of disappointment to find it empty, but I'm not sure if I was hoping to see Steph or someone else. I don't even bother taking my shoes off before I lie in my bed. I'm too exhausted and in need of sleep. I sleep the night away and don't wake up until noon. When I wake up, Steph's asleep in her bed. I go study for the rest of Sunday, and when I return, she's gone. Monday morning, she's still not back, and I start feeling a strong urge to catch up on what she was doing all weekend. Chapter 22. Before heading to my first class, I stop to grab my usual at the coffee house, where Landon is waiting for me with a smile. After our hellos, we're interrupted by a girl asking for intricate directions, and so we don't get the chance to catch up until we're walking to our last class of the day. The class that all day I have been dreading, but anticipating.
How was your weekend?
Landon asks, and I groan. Terrible, actually. I went to another party with Steph, I tell him, and he makes a sour face and laughs. I'm sure yours was much better. How is Dakota? His smile grows at the mention of her name, and I realize that I didn't mention seeing Noah on Saturday. Landon tells me about Dakota applying to a ballet company in New York, and how happy he is for her. All the while, I wonder if Noah's eyes light up like that when he talks about me. As we walk into class, he's telling me how his father and stepmother were thrilled to see him, but I find myself searching the room and not listening very closely to him. Harden's seat is empty. Won't it be hard if Dakota is gone so far? I manage to ask as we take our seats.
Well, we are already far from each other now, but it works. I really just want the best for her, and if New York is it, that's where I want her to be.
The professor walks in, silencing us. Where's Harden? He wouldn't skip class just to avoid me, would he? We dive into Pride and Prejudice, a magical book that I wish everyone would read, and before I realize it, the class is over.
You've cut your hair, Teresa.
I turn around to see Harden smiling behind me. He and Landon exchange awkward stares, and I try to think of what to say. He wouldn't mention the kiss in front of Landon, would he? Those dimples, deep as ever, tell me that yes, yes, he would. Hey, Harden, I say.
How was your weekend?
His expression is so smug. I pull Landon by the arm. Good. Well, see you around, I yell nervously, and Harden laughs.
When we're outside, Landon asks,
"What was that about?"
Obviously catching on to my strange behavior. Nothing, I just don't like Harden.
At least you don't have to see him often.
But there is something behind his voice, and why would he say that? Does he know about the kiss? Yeah. Thank God, is all I can muster. He pauses.
I wasn't going to say anything because I don't want you to associate me with him, but...
He smiles nervously.
Harden's dad is sort of dating my mom.
What? What?
Harden's dad...
Yes, yes, I got that. But Harden's dad lives here? Why is Harden here? I thought he was British. If his dad lives here, why doesn't he live with him? I flood Landon with questions before I can stop myself. He looks confused, but less nervous than a moment ago.
He's from London. His dad and my mom live close to the campus, but Harden and his dad don't have a good relationship. So please don't mention any of this to him. We already don't like each other.
I nod. Sure, okay. 1,000 more questions come to my mind, but I stay quiet as my friend goes back to talking about Dakota, his eyes brightening with each word about her. When I get back to my room, Steph isn't back yet since her classes run 2 hours past mine. I start to lay out my books and notes to get ready to study, but decide to call Noah instead. He doesn't pick up, and it really makes me wish he was here with me at college. It would make things so much easier and comfortable. We could be studying or watching a movie together right now. Still, I know that I'm thinking about this because my guilt about kissing Harden is consuming me. Noah is so sweet, and he doesn't deserve to be cheated on. I'm so lucky to have him in my life. He's always there for me, and he knows me better than anyone. We've known each other basically our whole lives. When his parents moved in down the street, I was ecstatic to have someone my age to hang out with, and the feeling only grew as I got to know him and learned he was an old soul like me. We spent our time reading, watching movies, and bringing life into the greenhouse behind my mother's place. The greenhouse has always been my safe haven. When my dad drank, I would hide in there, and no one except Noah knew where to find me. The night my dad left was a terrible night for me, and my mother refuses to speak of it ever. Doing so would shatter the perfect facade she has created for herself, but I still want to talk about it sometimes. Even though I hated him for drinking so much and for pushing my mother around, I still felt the deep need to have a father. That night, stowed away in the greenhouse while my dad screamed and went wild, I kept hearing glasses shattering in the kitchen, and then, when it stopped, footsteps. I was terrified my father was coming for me, but it was Noah. And I had never been so relieved in all my life to see someone safe. From that day on, we were inseparable. Over the years, our friendship turned into more, and neither of us has ever dated anyone else. I text Noah that I love him and decide to take a cat nap before I begin my studies. I pull out my planner and check my work one more time. I can surely fit in a 20-minute nap. Not even 10 minutes into my nap, there's a knock at the door. Figuring Steph must have forgotten her key, I groggily pull the door open. Of course it isn't her. It's Harden. Steph isn't back yet, I say, and walk back to my bed, leaving the door open for him. I'm a little surprised to even bother to knock, since I know Steph gave him an extra key as backup for herself. I will have to talk to her about that.
I can wait,
he says, and plops down on Steph's bed.
Suit yourself,
I groan, ignoring his chuckle as I pull the blanket over my body and close my eyes. Or rather, trying to ignore it. There's no way I'm going to be able to sleep knowing that Harden is in my room, but I would rather pretend sleep than face the awkward, rude talk we are bound to have. I try to ignore the sound of him gently tapping the headboard of her bed until my alarm goes off.
Going somewhere?
He asks, and I roll my eyes, even though he can't see me. No, I was taking a 20-minute nap, I tell him, and sit up.
You set an alarm to make sure your nap is only 20 minutes?
He says, amused. Yeah, I do. So what's it to you, anyway? I grab my books and lay them out neatly in order of my class schedule and stack the notes for each class on top of them.
Are you OCD or something?
No, Harden. Not everyone's crazy because they just like things a certain way. There's nothing wrong with being organized, I snap. And he laughs, of course. I refuse to look at him, but out of the corner of my eye, I can see him pushing up off the bed. Please don't come over here. Please don't come. And then he's standing over me,
looking down at where I sit on my bed. He grabs my literature notes and turns them over a couple of times exaggeratedly, like he's staring at a rare artifact. I reach up for them, but, like the annoying jerk he is, he lifts them higher, so I stand and swipe at them, but he tosses them in the air and they fall to the ground in a scattered mess. "Pick those up," I demand. He smirks and says,
"Okay, okay,"
but just grabs my sociology notes and does the same thing to them. I scramble to pick them up before he steps on them, but that's only funny to him. "Harden, stop," I yell, just as he does the same with the next stack. Infuriated, I stand up and shove him away from my bed.
"You mean someone doesn't like their stuff being messed with?"
he asks, still laughing. Why must he always laugh at me? "No, I don't," I yell, and go to shove him again. He steps toward me and grabs my wrists, pushing me back against the wall. His face is inches from mine, and suddenly I'm aware I'm breathing way too hard. I want to scream at him to get off me, to let me go, and demand that he put my work back. I want to slap him, to make him leave. But I can't. I'm frozen against the wall and mesmerized by his green eyes burning into mine. "Harden, please," are the only words I finally find, but they are soft, and I'm not sure if I am begging him to let me go or kiss me. My breathing still hasn't slowed. I can feel his increasing, the way his chest rises powerfully. Seconds feel like hours, and finally he removes one hand from my wrists, but the other is large enough to hold both. For a second, I think he might slap me, but his hand moves up to my cheekbone, and then he gently tucks my hair behind my ear. I swear I can hear his pulse as he brings his lips to mine, and the fire crackles under my skin. This is what I have been longing for since Saturday night. If I could only feel one thing for the rest of my life, this would be it. I don't let myself think about why I am kissing him again, or what terrible thing he will say afterward. All I want to focus on is the way he presses his body against mine when he lets go of my wrists, pinning me to the wall, and the way his mouth tastes like mint again, the way my tongue somehow follows his, and the way my hands slide over his broad shoulders. His hands grip the backs of my thighs and he lifts me up, my legs instinctively wrapping around his waist, and I'm amazed at the way my body somehow knows how to respond to him. I bury my fingers in his hair, gently tugging at it while he walks back toward my bed, his lips still molded to mine. The responsible voice inside my head finds her way in, reminding me that this is a terrible idea, but I push her back. I am not stopping this time. I pull Harden's hair harder, earning a moan from him. The sound elicits one of my own, the two mixing in the most heavenly way. It is the hottest sound I have ever heard, and I want to do anything I can to hear it again. He sits back on my bed, pulling me so I'm on his lap. His long fingers dig into my skin, but the pain is wonderful. My body begins gently rocking back and forth on his lap, and his grip tightens.
"Fuck,"
he breathes into my mouth, and I experience a sensation I have never felt before as I feel him harden against me. How far will I let this go, I ask myself, but I don't have an answer. His hands find the hem of my shirt, and he tugs at it, pulling it up. I can't believe I'm letting him, but I don't want to stop. He pulls away from our heated kiss to get the shirt over my head. His eyes meet mine, then go down to my chest as he takes his lip between his teeth.
"You're so sexy, Tess."
The idea of dirty talk never appealed to me, but somehow, Harden saying those words becomes the most sensual thing I have ever heard. I never buy any fancy underwear because no one, literally no one, ever sees them, but right now I wish I had something besides this plain black bra. He's probably seen every type of bra there is, the annoying voice in my head reminds me. To try to get such thoughts out of my head, I rock harder against his lap, and he wraps his arms around my back and pulls my body to his, our chests touching. The door handle jingles. I push myself off Harden's lap and throw my shirt on, the trance I was in immediately broken. Steph steps through the door and stops short when she sees me and Harden. As she takes in the scene before her, her mouth forms an O. I know my cheeks are bright red, not only from the embarrassment, but from the way Harden has made me feel.
"What the hell did I miss?"
she gasps, staring at us both with a huge grin. I swear her eyes are practically clapping with glee.
Nothing much,
Hardin says and stands. He walks to the door and doesn't look back as he walks out of the room, where I'm left panting and Steph laughing.
What the actual hell was that?
She asks me, and then covers her face in mock horror. But she's too excited by the gossip and pops back quickly.
You and Hardin? You and Hardin are, like, messing around?
I turn and pretend to look through the stuff on my desk. No! No way, we weren't messing around, I tell her.
Are we?
No, we just happened to kiss twice. And he took my shirt off, and I was basically humping him, but we aren't messing around, like, regularly. I have a boyfriend, remember? She comes over to face me.
So? That doesn't mean you can't mess around with Hardin. I just can't believe it. I thought you guys hated each other.
Well, Hardin hates everyone, but I thought he hated you even more than his normal hatred for people, she says, then laughs.
When does this even... How did this happen?
I sit on her bed and run my fingers through my hair. I don't know. Well, Saturday when you left the party, I ended up in his room because this creep tried to hit on me, and then I kissed Hardin. We promised to never speak of it again, but then he came by today and he started messing with me. Not in that way. I point at the bed, which only makes her smirk grow. Like he was throwing my stuff around and I pushed him and then somehow we ended up on the bed. It sounds so bad as I repeat it. I really am acting so out of character, just like my mother said. I put my hands over my face. How could I do this to Noah, again?
Whoa, that sounds hot,
Steph says, and I roll my eyes. It's not. It's terrible and wrong. I love Noah, and Hardin is a jerk. I don't want to be another conquest of his.
You could learn a lot from Hardin. You know, sexually.
My mouth falls open. Is she serious? Is that something she would do? Wait, has she? Her and Hardin?
No way. I don't want to learn anything from Hardin, or anyone besides Noah, I tell her.
I can't imagine Noah and I making out like that. My mind replays Hardin's words.
You're so sexy, Tess.
Noah would never say something like that. No one has ever called me sexy before. I feel my cheeks heat up as I think about it.
Have you? I ask a little sheepishly. With Hardin? No.
And something inside me feels better when she says that. But then she continues.
Well, I haven't had sex with him, but we had a little fling when we first met, as embarrassing as that is to admit. But nothing came from it. We were sort of friends with benefits for about a week.
She says it like it's no big deal, but I can't help the jealousy that stirs inside me. Oh, benefits? I ask. My mouth is completely dry, and I find myself suddenly annoyed by Steph.
Yeah, nothing too big. Just like a few heavy makeout sessions, a grope here and there. Nothing serious, she says, and my chest hurts.
I'm not surprised, really, but I wish I wouldn't have asked. Does Hardin have a lot of friends with benefits? I don't want to hear the answer, but I can't help asking. She snorts and sits down on her bed across from me.
Yeah, he does. I mean, not like hundreds, but he's a pretty active guy.
I can tell she's seen how I reacted and is trying to sugarcoat it for my sake. I make the mental decision for what feels like the 100th time to stay away from him. I will not be anyone's friends with benefits. Ever.
He doesn't do it to be mean or use girls. They pretty much throw themselves at him. And he lets them know from the start that he doesn't date, she says.
I remember her telling me that before, but it's not like he said that to me when we... Why doesn't he date? Why can't I stop asking these questions?
I don't know, really. Listen, she says, her voice full of concern. I think you could have a lot of fun with Hardin, but I also think this could be dangerous for you. Unless you know you will never develop any sort of feelings for him, I would stay away. I have seen a lot of girls fall for him, and it's not pretty.
Oh, trust me, I do not have feelings for him. I don't know what I was thinking, I laugh, and hope that it at least sounds genuine. Steph nods.
Good. So how much trouble did you get into with your mom and Noah?
I tell her all about my mother's lecture, minus the part about me promising not to be friends with her anymore. We spend the rest of the night talking about classes, Tristan, and anything I can think of besides Hardin. Chapter 23. The next day, Landon and I meet at the coffee house before class to compare notes for sociology. It took me an hour to get all my notes in order after Hardin's annoying stunt yesterday. I want to tell Landon about it, but I don't want him to think badly of me, especially now that I know about his mom and Hardin's dad. Landon must know a ton about Hardin, and I have to keep reminding myself not to ask questions about him. Besides, I don't care what Hardin does. The day flies by, and finally it's time for literature. Per usual, Hardin is in the seat next to mine, but today he doesn't seem inclined to look my way at all.
"Today will be our last day on Pride and Prejudice," the professor informs us. "I hope you all have enjoyed it, and since you've all read the ending, it feels fitting to base today's discussion on Austen's use of foreshadowing. Let me ask, as a reader, did you expect her and Darcy to become a couple in the end?"
Several people murmur or randomly flip through their books like it'll provide an immediate answer for them, but only Landon and I raise our hands, as always.
"Miss Young,"
the professor calls on me. Well, the first time I read the novel, I was on the edge of my seat about whether or not they would end up together. Even now, and I have read it at least 10 times, I still feel anxious during the beginning of their relationship. Mr. Darcy is so cruel and says such hateful things about Elizabeth and her family that I never know if she can forgive him, let alone love him. Landon nods at my answer, and I smile.
"That's a load,"
a voice cuts through the stillness. Hardin's voice.
"Mr. Scott, would you like to add something?"
the professor asks, clearly surprised at Hardin's participation.
"Sure. I said that's a load. Women want what they can't have. Mr. Darcy's rude attitude is what drew Elizabeth to him, so it was obvious they would end up together,"
Hardin says, then picks at his fingernails as if he isn't the slightest bit interested in the discussion. "That isn't true, about women wanting what they can't have. Mr. Darcy was only mean to her because he was too proud to admit he loved her. Once he stopped his hateful act, she saw that he really loved her," I say, much louder than I intended. Much louder. I look around the room and find everyone is staring at me and Hardin. Hardin exhales.
"I don't know what kind of guys you normally go for, but I think that if he loved her, he wouldn't have been mean to her. The only reason he even ended up asking for her hand in marriage was because she wouldn't stop throwing herself at him,"
he says with emphasis, and my heart drops. But finally we're getting at what he's really thinking. She did not throw herself at him. He manipulated her into thinking he was kind and took advantage of her weakness. I scream, and then the room really, truly goes silent. Hardin's face is flushed with anger, and I can't imagine mine looks much different.
"He manipulated her? Try again. She was so bored with her boring life that she had to find excitement somewhere, so she certainly was throwing herself at him,"
he yells back, his hand gripping the desk. "Well, maybe if he wasn't such a man-whore, he could have stopped it after the first time instead of showing up to her room." After the words leave my mouth, I know that we've been exposed, and snickers and gasps are heard throughout the room.
"Okay, lively discussion. I think that's probably enough on that topic for today,"
the professor begins, but I grab my bag and run out of the room. From somewhere behind me in the halls, I hear Hardin's angry voice yell,
"You don't get to run this time, Teresa."
I get outside and am crossing the green lawn, about to reach the corner of the block, when he grabs my arm and I jerk away. "Why do you always touch me like that?" "Grab my arm again and I will slap you," I scream. I surprise myself at my harsh words, but I've had enough of his crap. He grabs my arm again, but I can't manage to follow through on my promise. "What do you want, Hardin? To tell me how desperate I am? To laugh at me for letting you get to me again? I am so sick of this game with you. I won't play it any longer. I have a boyfriend who loves me, and you are a terrible person. You really should see a doctor and get some medication for your mood swings. I can't keep up with you. One second you're nice, then you're hateful. I want nothing to do with you, so do yourself a favor and find another girl to play your games, because I'm done."
"I really do bring out the worst in you, don't I?"
he asks. I turn away and attempt to shift my focus to the busy sidewalk next to us. A few confused students' eyes linger on Hardin and me for a beat too long. When I face him again, he's running his fingers across a small hole at the bottom of his worn black T-shirt. I expect him to be smiling or laughing, but he's not. If I didn't know any better, I would think he was hurt. But I do know better, and I know he couldn't care less.
I'm not trying to play games with you,
he says, and runs his hand over his head. Then what are you doing? Because your mood swings give me a headache, I snap. A small crowd has gathered around us, and I want to curl into a ball and disappear, but I have to know what he will say next. Why can't I stay away from him? I know he's dangerous and toxic. I have never been as mean to someone as I am to him. He deserves it, I know, but I don't really like being mean to anyone. Harden grabs my arm yet again, pulls me into a small alleyway between two buildings, away from the crowd.
Tess, I don't know what I'm doing. You kissed me first, remember?
He reminds me. Yeah, I was drunk, remember? And you kissed me first yesterday.
Yeah, you didn't stop me.
He pauses.
It must be exhausting.
He says. What? What must be exhausting?
Acting like you don't want me when we both know you do.
He says and steps closer. What? I do not want you. I have a boyfriend. The words tumble out too fast and reveal their absurdity, making him smile.
A boyfriend that you're bored with. Admit it, Tess. Not to me, but to yourself. You're bored with him.
His voice lowers and slows to a sensual pace.
Has he ever made you feel the way I do?
What? Of course he has, I lie.
No, he hasn't. I can tell that you've never been touched. Really touched.
His words send a now familiar burn through my body. That's none of your business, I say, and back away, making him take three steps toward me.
You have no idea how good I can make you feel,
he says, and I gasp. How does he go from yelling at me to this? And why do I like it so much? I have no words. Harden's tone and dirty words make me weak, vulnerable, and confused. I have become a rabbit in a fox's trap.
Really, you don't have to admit it. I can tell,
he says, his voice thick with arrogance. But all I can do is shake my head. His smile grows, and I instinctively back against the wall. He takes a step toward me, and I take a deep, hopeful breath. Not again.
Your pulse has quickened, hasn't it? Your mouth is dry. You're thinking about me and have that feeling down there, don't you, Teresa?
Everything he is saying is true, and the more he talks to me like this, the more I want him. It's strange to crave and hate someone at the same time. The attraction I feel is purely physical, which is surprising considering how opposite he is from Noah. I don't remember ever being attracted to anyone except Noah. I know that if I don't say something now, he will win. I don't want him to have this power over me and win, too. You're wrong, I mutter. But he smiles, and even that sends electricity through me.
I'm never wrong,
he says.
Not about this.
I step to the side before he fully traps me against the wall. Why do you keep saying I throw myself at you if you're the one cornering me now? I ask, my anger pushing past my lust for this maddening tattooed boy.
Because you made the first move on me. Don't get me wrong, I was as surprised as you were.
I was drunk and had had a long night, as you already know. I was confused because you were being nice to me. Well, your version of being nice. I scoot past him and sit down on the curb so I can get out of his space. Talking to him is so exhausting.
I'm not that mean to you,
he says, looming over me, but it sounds more like a question than a statement. Yeah, you are. You go out of your way to be mean to me. Not just me, but everyone. But it still seems like you are extra hard on me. I can't believe I'm being this honest with him. I know it's a matter of minutes before he turns on me.
That's just not true. I'm no meaner to you than I am to the rest of the general population.
I shoot up. I knew I couldn't have a normal discussion with him. I don't know why I keep wasting my time, I yell. I start walking back toward the main pathway and lawn.
Hey, I'm sorry. Just come back over here.
I groan, but my feet react before my brain can catch up, and I end up standing a few feet away from him. He sits on the curb where I was previously sitting.
Sit,
he demands, and I do.
You're sitting awfully far away,
he says, and I roll my eyes.
You don't trust me?
No, of course I don't. Why would I? His face falls slightly as my words hit him, but he recovers quickly. Why would he care if I trusted him? Can we just agree to either stay away from each other or be friends? I don't have it in me to keep fighting with you, I sigh, and he moves a little closer. He takes a deep breath before he speaks.
I don't want to stay away from you.
What? My heart beats out of my chest.
I mean, I don't think we can stay away from each other with one of my best friends being your roommate and all, so I suppose we should try to be friends.
Disappointment bubbles up from somewhere, but this is what I want, right? I can't keep kissing Harden and cheating on Noah. Okay, so friends, I say, pushing down this feeling.
Friends,
he agrees, and reaches out his hand for me to shake. Not friends with benefits, I remind him as I shake, only to feel the blood rush to my cheeks. He chuckles and moves his hand to play with his eyebrow ring.
What makes you say that?
Like you don't know. Steph already told me.
What, about me and her?
You and her and you and every other girl. I try to fake a laugh, but it comes out as a cough, so I cough a little more to try to cover. He raises his eyebrow at me, but I ignore him.
Well, me and Steph, that was fun.
He smiles as if remembering something, and I swallow the bile rising in the back of my throat.
And yeah, I have girls that I fuck, but why would that concern you, friend?
He's so nonchalant about the whole thing, but I'm in shock. Hearing him admit to sleeping with other girls shouldn't bother me, but it does. He isn't mine. Noah is. Noah is. Noah is, I remind myself. It doesn't. I just don't want you to think that I will be one of those girls.
Aw, are you jealous, Teresa?
He mocks me, and I shove him. There is no way in hell I will ever admit that. No, absolutely not. I feel sorry for the girls. He raises his eyebrows playfully.
Oh, you shouldn't. They enjoy it. Trust me.
Okay, okay, I get it. Can we please just change the subject? I sigh and lift my head back to look at the sky. I need to clear the image of Harden and his harem out of my mind. So will you try to be nicer to me?
Sure. Will you try not to be so uptight and bitchy all the time?
Looking at the clouds, I dreamily say, I'm not bitchy. You are just obnoxious. I look at him and start laughing. Fortunately, he joins in. It's a nice change from screaming at each other. I know we haven't really resolved the big issue here, which is the feelings that I may or may not have for him, but if I can just get him to stop kissing me, I can focus back on Noah and stop this terrible cycle before it gets worse.
Look at us. Two friends.
His accent is so cute when he isn't being rude. Hell, even then it is. But when his voice is soft, his accent makes it so much softer, like velvet. The way words roll off his tongue and through his pink lips. I can't think about his lips. I tear my eyes away from his face and stand up, wiping my skirt off.
That skirt really is dreadful, Tess. If we're going to be friends, you need to not wear that anymore.
For a second, I'm hurt, but when I look up at him, he's smiling. This must be the way he jokes. Still rude, but I'll take this over his usual pure malice. My phone alarm vibrates. I need to get back and study, I tell him.
You set an alarm to study?
I set an alarm for a lot of things. It's just something I do. I hope he just lets this topic go.
Well, set an alarm for us to do something fun tomorrow after class,
he says. Who is this and where is the real Harden? I don't think my idea of fun is the same as yours. I can't even imagine what fun is to Harden.
Well, we'll only sacrifice a few cats, burn down only a few buildings.
I can't stop the giggle from escaping, and he smiles back.
Really, though, you could use some fun, and since we are new friends, we should do something fun.
I need a few moments to contemplate whether I should be alone with Harden before I answer him, but before I can answer, he turns to walk away.
Good. I'm glad you're aboard. See you tomorrow.
And he's gone. I don't say anything. I just sit back down on the curb. My head is spinning from the last 20 minutes. First, he basically offered me sex, telling me I have no idea how good he could make me feel. Then, a few minutes later, he was agreeing to try to be nice to me. Then we were laughing and joking, and it was nice. There are still so many questions I have about him, but I think I can be friends with Harden like Steph is. Okay, not like Steph is, but like Nate or one of their other friends who hang out with him. This is really the best thing. No more kissing, no more sexual advances from him, just friends. But as I walk back to my room, past all the other kids going about without any knowledge of Hardin or his ways, I can't quite manage to shake the fear that I just walked into another one of his traps. Chapter 24. I try to study when I get back to my room, but can't seem to focus. After staring at my notes for a couple of hours, but not having really read anything, I decide a shower might help. When they're crowded, the co-ed bathrooms still make me uncomfortable, but no one ever messes with me, so I'm getting used to them. The hot water feels amazing and loosens up my tense muscles. I should be relieved and happy that Hardin and I have reached some sort of truce, but now anger and annoyance have been replaced by nervousness and confusion. I've agreed to spend time with Hardin tomorrow, doing something fun, and I am terrified. I just hope it goes well. I don't expect to become best friends with him, but I need us to get to a place where we don't scream at each other every time we talk. The shower feels so good, I stay in there for a while, and when I get back to my room, Steph's already come and left. I find a note from her saying Tristan is taking her off campus for dinner. I like Tristan. He seems really nice, despite his overuse of eyeliner. If Steph and Tristan continue to see each other, then maybe when Noah comes to visit, we could all go do something together. Who am I kidding? Noah wouldn't want to hang out with people like them. But I'm aware enough to admit that up until 3 weeks ago, I never would have either. I end up calling Noah before bed. We haven't talked all day. He's so polite. He asks about my day as soon as he picks up. I tell him it was good. I should tell him that Hardin and I are going to hang out tomorrow, but I don't. He tells me that his soccer team beat Seattle High by a landslide, even though Seattle's really good. And I'm happy for him, because he seems really happy to have played so well. The next day goes by way too fast. Landon and I walk into literature class, and Hardin is already in his seat.
"Are you ready for our date tonight?"
he asks, and my mouth falls open. Landon's does, too. I don't know what I feel more conflicted about, Hardin saying it like that, or how it will affect how Landon sees me. Day one of our quest to become friends is not going well so far. "It's not a date," I say to him, then turn to Landon and roll my eyes and nonchalantly say, "We're hanging out as friends," while ignoring Hardin.
"Same thing,"
Hardin replies. I avoid him for the rest of class, which is easy since he doesn't really try to talk to me after that. After class, as Landon starts putting his stuff into his backpack, he looks at Hardin, then quietly says to me,
"Be careful tonight."
"Oh, we're just trying to get along since my roommate is his good friend," I reply, hoping Hardin doesn't hear me.
"I know, you're really a great friend. I'm just not sure Hardin deserves your kindness,"
he says, purposefully loud, and I look up at him.
"Don't you have something else to do besides badmouth me? Get lost, man,"
Hardin snaps from behind me. Landon frowns and looks at me again.
"Just remember what I said."
He walks away, and I worry about how much I've maybe upset him. "Hey, you don't have to be cruel to him. You guys are practically brothers," I say. Hardin's eyes go wide.
"What did you just say?"
He growls. "You know, your dad and his mom. Was Landon lying, or was I not supposed to mention this? Landon said not to bring up Hardin's relationship with his dad, but I didn't think he meant the whole thing."
"That is none of your business."
Hardin looks angrily at the door where Landon disappeared.
"I don't know why the asshole ever told you that. I'm going to have to shut him up, it seems."
"You leave him alone, Hardin. He didn't even want to tell me, but I got it out of him." The idea of Hardin hurting Landon makes me sick. I need to change the subject. "So where are we going today?" I ask, and he glares at me.
"We aren't going anywhere. This was a bad idea,"
he snaps, turns on his heels, and walks away. I stand there for a minute, waiting to see if Hardin changes his mind and will come back. What the hell? He really is bipolar, I'm sure of it. Back in my dorm room, I find Zed, Tristan, and Steph sitting on her bed. Tristan's eyes are focused on Steph, and Zed is flicking his thumb across the trigger of her metal lighter. I would usually be annoyed with this many unexpected guests, but I really like Zed and Tristan, and I need the distraction.
"Hey, Tessa. How are classes?"
Steph asks, and gives me a big smile. I can't help but notice the way Tristan's face lights up when he looks at her. They were okay. You? I put my books on my dresser and she tells me about her professor spilling hot coffee on himself, making them get out early.
You look nice today, Tessa.
Zed tells me, and I say thanks and crowd on Steph's bed with the three of them. The bed really is too small for all of us, but it works. After we've been talking about various weird professors for a few minutes, the door opens and we all turn to see who it is. It's Hardin. Ugh.
Jeez, man, you could at least knock for once.
Steph scolds him and he shrugs.
I could have been naked or something.
She laughs, obviously not angry at his lack of manners.
Nothing I haven't seen before.
He jokes, and Tristan's face falls while the other three chuckle. I can't find the humor either. I hate thinking about Steph and Hardin together.
Oh, shut up, she says, still laughing, and grabs hold of Tristan's hand. His smile returns and he moves a little closer to her.
What are you guys up to?
Hardin asks and sits opposite us on my bed. I want to tell him to get off, but I keep quiet. I thought for a second he had come here to apologize, but now I can see he just came to hang out with his friends, and I am not one of them. Zed smiles.
We were actually going to go to the movies. Tessa, you should come.
Before I can answer, Hardin speaks up quickly.
Actually, Tessa and I have plans.
There's a strange edge to his voice. God, he's so moody.
What?
Zed and Steph say in unison.
Yeah, I was just coming to get her.
Hardin stands up and puts his hands into his pockets, gesturing toward the door with his body.
You ready or what?
My mind screams no, but I nod and slip off Steph's bed.
Well, see you all later.
Hardin announces and practically pushes me out the door. Outside, he leads me to his car and, surprising me, opens the passenger door for me. I stand still with my arms crossed, looking at him.
Well, I'll remember not to ever open a door for you again.
I shake my head. What the hell was that? I know full well you didn't come here to get me. You just got done telling me that you didn't want to hang out with me, I yell. And we are back to yelling at each other. He makes me crazy, literally.
Yes, I did. Now get in the car.
No. If you don't admit that you didn't come here to see me, I will go back in there and go to the movies with Zed, I say, which makes him clench his jaw. I knew it. I don't know how to feel about this revelation, but somehow I knew Hardin didn't want me to go to the movies with Zed, and that that's the only reason he's trying to hang out with me now. Admit it, Hardin, or I am gone.
Okay, fine. I admit it. Now get in the damned car. I won't ask again,
he says, and walks around to the driver's side. Against my better judgment, I get in too. Hardin still looks angry as he pulls out of the parking lot. He turns the screeching music up way too loud. I reach down and shut it off.
Don't touch my radio,
he scolds. If you're going to be a jerk the whole time, I don't want to hang out with you. And I mean it. If he's like this, I don't care where we are. I'll hitchhike back to the dorms or something.
I'm not. Just don't touch my radio.
My thoughts go back to Hardin tossing my notes into the air, and in turn I want to yank his radio out and throw it out the window. If I knew I could tear it from the dash, I would. Why do you care if I go to the movies with Zed anyway? Steph and Tristan were going too.
I just don't think Zed has the best intentions.
He says quietly, his eyes glued to the road. I begin to laugh and he frowns. Oh, and you do? At least Zed is nice to me. I can't stop laughing. The idea of Hardin trying to protect me in some way is hilarious. Zed is a friend, nothing more. Just like Hardin. Hardin rolls his eyes but doesn't give me an answer. He turns the music back on and its guitars and bass literally hurt my ears. Can you please turn it down, I beg? To my surprise, he does, but leaves it on for background noise. That music is terrible. He laughs and taps the steering wheel.
No, it's not. Though I would love to know your opinion on what is good music.
When he smiles like this, he looks so carefree, especially with his window down, the breeze blowing through his hair. He reaches one hand up and pushes his hair back. I love the way it looks when it's back like that. I shake the thoughts from my head. Well, I like Bon Iver and The Fray, I finally answer.
Of course you do,
he says and chuckles. I defend my two favorite bands. What's wrong with them? They are insanely talented and their music is wonderful.
Yeah,
They are talented. Talented at putting people to sleep.
When I reach across and playfully swat his shoulder, he mock winces and laughs.
Well, I love them, I say with a smile. If we could just stay in this playful state, I might actually have a good time.
I look out the window for the first time, but I don't really know where we are. Where are we going?
To one of my favorite places.
Which is where?
You really have to know everything that is going on in advance, don't you?
Yeah, I like to...
Control everything?
I stay quiet. I know he's right, but that's just the way I am.
Well, I'm not telling you until we get there, which will be only about 5 minutes from now.
I lean back against the leather seat of his car and turn my head to glance at the back seat. A messy stack of textbooks and loose papers rest on one side, and a thick black sweatshirt rests on the other.
See something that you like back there?
Harden catches me by embarrassed surprise. What kind of car is this? I ask. I need a distraction from both not knowing where we are going and him calling me out for being nosy.
Ford Capri. A classic.
He boasts, obviously proud. He goes on to tell me all about it, even though I have no idea what he is talking about. Still, I like to watch his lips as he talks, the way they move slowly as the words are even slower. After looking over at me a few times during the conversation, he pretty harshly says,
I don't like to be stared at.
Though he does smile a little after. Chapter 25. We start down a gravel road, and Harden turns the music off so that the only noise is the little stones crunching beneath the tires. I suddenly realize we are out in the middle of nowhere. I get nervous now. We are alone. Really alone. There are no cars, no buildings, nothing.
Don't worry. I didn't bring you out here to kill you.
He jokes, and I gulp. I doubt he realizes that I'm more afraid of what I might do when alone with him than if he was to actually try to kill me. After another mile, he stops the car. I look out the window and see nothing but grass and trees. There are yellow wildflowers across the landscape, and the breeze is perfectly warm. Granted, the place is nice and serene, but why bring me here? What are we going to do here? I ask him as I climb out of the car.
Well, first, a bit of walking.
I sigh. So he took me here to exercise? Noticing my sour expression, he adds,
Not too much walking.
And begins along a part of the grass that looks flattened from being used a number of times. We're both quiet for most of the walk, save a few rude snips from Harden about me being too slow. I ignore him and take in my surroundings. I am beginning to understand why he likes this seemingly random place. It's so quiet, peaceful. I could stay here forever as long as I brought a book with me. He turns off the trail and goes into a wooded area. My natural suspiciousness kicks in, but I follow. A few minutes later, we emerge from the woods to a stream, or really more of a river. I have no idea where we are, but the water looks pretty deep. Harden doesn't say anything as he pulls his black t-shirt over his head. My eyes scan his inked torso. The way the empty branches of the dead tree are drawn into his skin is more appealing than haunting under the bright sun. He then bends down to untie his dirty black boots, glancing up at me, catching me staring at his half-naked body. Wait, why are you undressing? I ask, and look at the stream.
Oh, no.
You are going to swim? In that? I say, and point to the water.
Yeah, and you are too. I do it all the time.
He unbuttons his pants, and I have to force myself not to stare at the way the muscles in his bare back move when he bends down and pulls them over his legs. I am not swimming in that. I don't mind swimming, but not in a random place in the middle of nowhere.
And why is that?
He gestures toward the river.
It's clean enough that you can see the bottom.
So, there are probably fish and God knows what in there. I realize how ridiculous I sound, but I don't care. Besides, you didn't tell me we were going swimming, so I have nothing to swim in. He can't argue with that.
You're telling me you're the kind of girl who doesn't wear underwear?
He smirks, and I gape at him, and those dimples.
Yeah, so go in your bra and panties.
Wait, so he thought I would come out here and take all my clothes off and swim with him? My insides stir, and I get warm thinking about being naked in the water with Harden. What is he doing to me? I have never, ever had these types of thoughts before. I am not swimming in my underwear, you creep. I sit on the soft grass. I'll just watch, I tell him. He frowns, now only in his boxer briefs. The black material is tight against his body. This is the second time I have seen him shirtless, and he looks even better here, under the open sky.
You're no fun, and you're missing out,
he says flatly, and jumps into the water. I keep my eyes on the grass and pluck a few blades out, playing with them between my fingers. I hear Harden call,
"The water is warm, Tess,"
from the stream. From my spot on the grass, I can see the drops of water falling from his now black hair. He is smiling as he pushes his soaked hair back and wipes his face off with one hand. For a moment, I find myself wishing I was someone else, someone braver, like Steph. If I was Steph, I would strip down and jump into the water with Harden. I would splash around and climb up the bank just to jump back and soak him. I would be fun and carefree. But I'm not Steph. I'm Tessa.
This is one beyond boring friendship so far,
Harden exclaims and swims closer to the bank. I roll my eyes and he chuckles.
At least take your shoes off and put your feet in. It feels amazing, and pretty soon it will be too cold to swim in.
Putting my feet in wouldn't be so bad. So I take my shoes off and roll my jeans up enough to dip my feet over the edge and into the water. Harden was right. The water is warm and clear. I wiggle my toes and can't help but smile.
It's nice, isn't it?
He asks, and I can't help but nod.
So just come in.
I shake my head and he splashes me with the water. I scoot back and scowl at him.
If you come in the water, I will answer one of your always intrusive questions. Any question that you want, but only one,
he warns. Curiosity gets the best of me, and I tilt my head in concentration. There are so many mysteries about him, and there's a chance to maybe solve one of them.
This offer expires in 1 minute,
he says, and slips beneath the water. I can see his long body swimming under the clear water. It does look like fun, and Harden drives a hard bargain. He knows just how to use my curiosity against me.
Tessa,
he says after his head pops back up above the surface.
Stop overthinking everything and just jump in.
I don't have anything to wear. If I jump in my clothes, I will have to walk back to the car and ride back soaked, I whine. I almost want to get in the water. Okay, I know I do.
Wear my shirt,
he offers, which shocks me, so I wait a second for him to tell me he was joking, but he doesn't.
Go on, just wear my shirt. It will be long enough for you to wear in here, and you can keep your bra and panties on, if you wish,
he says with a smile. I take his advice and stop thinking. Fine, but turn around and do not look at me while I am changing. I mean it. I try my best to be intimidating, but he just laughs. He turns around and faces the opposite direction, so I lift my shirt over my head and grab his as quickly as I can. Slipping it on, I can tell he was right, since it reaches down to the middle of my thighs. I can't help but admire the way his shirt smells, like faint cologne mixed with a smell I can only describe as Harden.
Hurry the hell up or I will turn around,
he says, and I wish I had a stick to throw at his head. I unbutton my jeans and step out of them. Folding my jeans and shirt neatly, I put them next to my shoes on the grass. Harden turns around and I tug at the bottom of his black t-shirt, trying to pull it as far as it will go. His eyes widen and I watch them rake down my body. He takes his lip ring between his teeth and I notice his cheeks flush. He must be cold because I know it couldn't possibly be me he is reacting to.
Come in the water, yeah?
He says. His voice raspier than usual. I nod and walk slowly to the bank.
Just jump in.
I am, I yell nervously, and he laughs.
Get a little running start.
Okay. I step back a little and start to run. I feel foolish, but I am not letting my tendency to overthink ruin this. As I reach my last stride, I look at the water and stop with my feet right on the edge.
Oh, come on. You were off to such a good start.
His head falls back in laughter, and he looks adorable. Harden? Adorable? I can't. I'm not sure what is stopping me. The water is deep enough to jump in, but not too deep. The water in the spot where Hardin is standing goes only to his chest, which means it would reach just under my chin.
Are you afraid?
His tone is calm but serious. No. I don't know. Sort of, I admit. And he walks through the water toward me.
Sit on the edge and I'll help you in.
I sit down and close my legs tightly so he doesn't see my panties. Noticing this, he grins as he reaches me. His hands grip my thighs, and once again I am on fire. Why does my body have to respond to him this way? I'm trying to make us friends, so I need to ignore the fire. He moves his hands to my waist and asks,
"Ready?"
As soon as I nod yes, he is lifting me and pulling me into the water, water that's warm and feels amazing against my hot skin. Hardin lets me go too soon, and I stand up in the water. We are closer to the bank, so it only reaches just below my chest.
"Don't just stand there,"
he says mockingly, and I ignore him but do walk out a little. The t-shirt bubbles up from the water going under it, and I yelp and pull it down. Once it's positioned, it promises to stay put for the most part.
"You could just take it off,"
he says with a smirk, and I splash at him.
"Did you just splash me?"
He laughs, and I nod, splashing at him again. He shakes his wet head and lunges for me under the water. His long arms hook around my waist and pull me under. My hand flies up to plug my nose. I haven't mastered swimming without my nose plugged. When we emerge, Hardin is cracking up and I can't help but laugh with him. I am actually having fun. Real fun. Not that average watching a good movie fun.
"I can't decide which is more amusing. The fact that you are actually having a good time, or the fact that you have to plug your nose underwater,"
he says through his laughter. I get a jolt of bravery and move toward him, ignoring the way the t-shirt floats up again, and I try to push his head underwater. Of course he is too strong for me and doesn't budge, so he only laughs harder, showing all of his beautiful white teeth. Why can't he be like this all the time? "I believe you owe me an answer to a question," I remind him. He looks off toward the bank.
"Sure. But only one."
I'm not sure which one to ask. I have so many. Before I can decide, though, I hear my voice making the decision for me. "Who do you love most in the world?" Why would I ask him that? I want to know more specific things, like why is he a jerk? Why is he in America? He looks at me suspiciously, as if he's confused by my question.
"Myself,"
he answers, and goes back underwater for a few seconds. He pops back up and I shake my head. "That can't be true," I say in challenge. I know he is arrogant, but he has to love someone. Anyone? "What about your parents?" I ask, and immediately regret it. His face twists, and his eyes lose the softness I was becoming fond of.
"Do not speak of my parents again. Got it?"
he snaps, and I want to smack myself for ruining the good time we were having. "I'm sorry. I was just curious. You said you would answer a question," I remind him quietly. His face softens a little and he steps toward me, the water around us rippling. "I really am sorry, Hardin. I won't mention them again, I promise. I really don't want to fight with him out here. He would probably leave me out here alone if I upset him too much." He takes me by surprise when he grabs my waist and lifts me into the air. I kick my legs and flail my arms, screaming at him to put me down, but he only obliges me by laughing and tossing me into the water. I land a few feet away, and when I come above the water, his eyes are bright with glee. "You're going to pay for that," I yell. He fake yawns in response, so I swim at him, and he grabs me again, but this time I wrap my thighs around his waist without really realizing it. A shocked gasp falls from his lips. "Sorry," I mutter, and unhook my legs. But he grabs them and folds them back around his waist. That electricity between us can be felt again, this time more intensely than ever before. Why does this always happen with him? I shut my mind off from my thoughts and put my arms around his neck to steady myself.
"What are you doing to me, Tess?"
he says softly and rubs his thumb over my bottom lip. "I don't know," I answer truthfully into his thumb, which still traces over my mouth.
"These lips, the things you could do with them,"
he says slowly, seductively. I feel that burn deep in my stomach that makes me putty in his arms.
"Do you want me to stop?"
He looks into my eyes. His pupils are so dilated that there is only a slight ring around the now dark green of his eyes. Before my mind can catch up, I shake my head and press my body against his under the water.
"We can't just be friends. You know that, don't you?"
His lips touch my chin, making me tremble. He continues a line of kisses along my jawline, and I nod. I know he's right. I have no idea what this is that we are, but I know I will never be able to only be friends with Harden. As his lips touch the spot just below my ear, I moan, prompting Harden to do it again, this time sucking the skin. "Oh, Harden," I moan, and squeeze him with my legs. I bring my hands down his back and graze my nails against his skin. I might explode just from him kissing my neck alone.
"I want to make you moan my name, Tessa, over and over again. Please let me."
His voice is full of desperation. And I know deep inside there's no way I can say no.
"Say it, Tessa."
He takes my earlobe between his teeth. I nod again, harder.
"I need you to say it, baby, out loud, so I know you really want me to."
His hand travels down and under his t-shirt that I am wearing. "I want to..." I rush the words, and he smiles against my neck, his mouth continuing its gentle assault. He doesn't say anything, and instead grabs my thighs, lifting me higher onto his torso as he begins to walk out of the water. When he reaches the bank, he lets me go and climbs out. I whine, certainly inflaming his ego even more, but right now I don't care. All I know is that I want him. I need him. He reaches out for my hands and pulls me up onto the bank with him. Unsure what to do, I just stand on the grass, feeling Harden's heavy, soaked shirt on my shoulders and thinking he's too far away.